Hello everyone, welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast. I am not Barry White, I'm Michael Bailey, just with a slightly croaky throat. I'm joined by Chief Norwich City Writer for the Eastern Daily Press, Paddy Davitt, and sports journalist here at Argent Towers, David Freezer, back fresh from the under-23s game as well this afternoon, so we'll have a quick chat about that in a moment, David. But gents, hope you're both well. Pad, give us your mood then, because it's a little bit... We've had an extra 24 hours to recover from the Huddersfield game, as it was on the Friday compared to a normal Saturday. So on this lovely Monday afternoon at 2 minutes to five, where are you at?
Counting the days to Christmas is where I'm at, because there's not much enjoyment job-wise. As you guys probably know, not a Norwich fan, so don't feel your pain as deeply, but... I've said all I'm going to say, really, so it's going to be a fairly short podcast, but there's nothing more to add. It's a downward spiral. I don't see it getting any better with the current personnel at the football club, so time for change.
I mean, it's interesting, because I think even a few days ago I was asking for someone on Twitter. They said, give us your direct opinion. What do you think, whether Alex Neil should stay or go? I'm like, have you not been listening or reading anything I've said for the last like 3-4 weeks? Well, I don't know, it's probably almost 6 weeks now the way we're going. Anyway, yeah, David, were you there on Friday? Did you get to see the game on Friday? Yeah. Or you were in here, weren't you?
No, I was in the South Stand on Sunday, yeah.
Lucky boy. Lucky boy.
Yeah, you certainly nailed your colours to the mast a few weeks ago. I remember you saying that it's a case of when rather than if in one of these podcasts. So, I think it's everybody seems to have turned now. Even the people who tend to be a bit more sane, a bit more patient, it's definitely turned against Alex now. And it's not a nice situation, really. I don't like seeing anybody lose their job. But it feels like we've been going on about this for a long while, which sort of tells its own story, doesn't it? The board aren't listening. They're sticking to their guns. And, talking to Alex about it now must almost feel a bit like, well, I'm sorry to go over this again, Alex, but are you going to leave? Do you have confidence in yourself? Because we know what the answers are. And now the attention seems to be turning towards the board, doesn't it?
Yeah, there was a bit... That was probably one of the noticeable things about Friday, wasn't it, Paddy? That the atmosphere changed. It was much more vociferous in terms of Alex's future, but there were questions being asked of the board, and that's probably the first purest moment where those board members have been directly exposed to what the fans think and feel at the moment.
Yeah, 100%, but it was always going to play out that way. I mean, they got lucky in the sense that the Leeds game was 90 whatever minute winner, and I think there was just a stunned air around the place that day, and obviously we weren't as deeply into the rut that we now find ourselves in, and then they earned some respite at home, beating the likes of Brentford and Villa, and that's why I think it hasn't quite been the sense you've got maybe from the away support, who have seen the Brightons and have seen the QPRs and Derby to a lesser extent. It's almost like a lot of the home fans who probably wouldn't travel away have now probably reached the same conclusion reached by the away fans for a while. So, as I say, I'm fairly depressed about it all. So I'm not really in a great mood to have a chat, if the truth be told, about it, which is not ideal for a podcast. But it's just a sense of, get on with it now and make the changes that need to be made, because it's not going to get any better under this manager, I'm sad to say. And I like the bloke on a personal level. I think he's, of the four or five managers I've dealt with, he's up there. He's the top man in terms of being able to get on with him and the honesty that he displays. But it's not about that. It's about what he always says, and that's results, and the results aren't good enough. And we're now approaching a quarter of a season of dross. So, as I've written about today, you've got to make a decision if you're those board members. What do they want for their club this season? What do they want seasons ahead? Because what they've got at the minute isn't going to work, and more fans can see that. And it isn't the more reactionary element on social media. Perhaps it is your loyalists who turn up week in, week out, year in, year out, and are reasonable and are measured in what they see and don't react at extremes of anger or frustration. But even they're not happy, and they made their feelings known against Huddersfield on Friday. So no way back.
I think there's a fantastic point in there, because you're spot on. He is really good to deal with, and I think the goodwill there's been for him to do well has existed pretty much. That's probably the last thing that went in the last week or so, and he is good to deal with, and that's why us, you know, making these points and calling it as we see it now, that it's our job to be, as much as we want the club to always do well, and it's almost based on that, we can call it objectively, and we can see it's not working on the pitch, regardless of how nice a bloke he is or how good he is to deal with and how honest he is, and you can see most of what he's trying to do. I guess it's maybe a bit different if you're a board member, I wonder.
Potentially. I mean, his honesty is good in one way, but I'm not sure it's done him favours at other times. You know, admitting that he's made the mistakes that he's made. Again, Friday night, it's his mistake, isn't it? David Wagner freshened his team up. Alex didn't. And
against a side who he knew was going to be energetic, and then, they didn't have any legs in the first half.
Just like Barnsley. And again, he's left there to stand there and say, oh, well, hold my hands up. But I think that might have something to do with the fact that previously he'd gone too far the other way and was blaming players too much and always put up a bit of a wall between himself and the squad, because he was outwardly showing his frustrations at the sloppy goals that they kept conceding. But I think that all comes back to the fact that they didn't buy a new centre-back before the start of the Premier League season and that you've still got Sebastian Bessong, Ryan Bennett, Russell Martin, Stephen Whittaker in the squad years later from when they first arrived, and they're not up to it, really.
It's interesting. I've still got the ticks and crosses on my team sheet here from Friday. Only 3 of the 18 for Huddersfield were involved in the game between the two sides at Carrow Road 2 years before. Only 2 of them were involved in the game at Huddersfield a little bit later on. Norwich, it was 7 in the 2 Carrow Road games and 9 in the last meeting. But, I mean, I guess that's... it comes from the manager, doesn't it, that maybe you get that evolution. And interesting that David Wagner, as well as he done, could be off to Wolfsburg very, very shortly, which would sort of mix things up. And I've just had a chat with Dan O'Hagan on Sports Extra about what that means for Gary Rowett and this, that and the other, and I'm sure some people get in a little bit of a tiz that Gary Rowett might slip through Norwich's fingers. But I guess, like a player not being selected becoming Franz Beckenbauer, a manager not being selected can become Bob Paisley or whoever.
Yeah, I mean, he's done a good job with limited resources at Birmingham, but stabilising a club in the top 10 for 3 years in the Championship, is that what Norwich want? Fair enough if it is. The lad's possibly not had the tools to show how good a manager he could be, so you're back in gamble territory there. But by no means is he proven for where Norwich want to get to, where they've stated they want to get to. So, as you say, he seems to be almost this cross between Mourinho and Guardiola at the minute. So for some people, let's just take a step back. You know, he's obviously a good, solid manager, but is he necessarily the answer?
He's the Kyle Lafferty of the managerial world all of a sudden.
He had to manage him, didn't he, last year? So,
well, quite. It's interesting. Just before we came on, I saw Radio Leeds, BBC Radio Leeds, had said that Huddersfield have dismissed the rumours about Wagner. So we'll see how that develops during the night. But, I mean, it would seem a big step up for Wagner, wouldn't it, to go to Wolfsburg? But if you compare Rowett and Neil, I mean, Neil has achieved more than Gary Rowett has done, hasn't he? Although he did a very good job with Burton, and he's was doing a good job before Birmingham and was harshly sacked. But in skills terms, or experience terms, I'm not sure they're that different, which sort of emphasises the point that we've just reached the point where it almost is just a change that's needed. It doesn't necessarily matter too much who it is, in the same way that when Alex Neil came in, everyone was like, who's Alex Neil? Never heard of him. And then he got that reaction. And it's at that point now where if Alex Neil were to get sacked tonight, and even you put Dimitri Hileko or Alan Irvin in charge or whatever on Boxing Day, you can just see this squad of players going and winning 4-0, just because their shackles will be off and that sort of pressure will be released, and they're playing for themselves rather than having to worry about the managerial situation, which they've created themselves to a certain extent as well. So it's almost a chicken and egg situation, isn't it? But where I see it as now for the football club is that a change of any kind is what's needed.
I think short-term wise, most definitely. I mean, we've had this conversation before, haven't we, Pat, about shelf lives and maybe that doesn't really exist. You know, managers having long tenures, it's a really difficult thing to achieve, maybe harder than ever before, perhaps. I mean, I get it with the short-term effect. I guess not every manager could have got Norwich through the run that they went through last time. That's a discussion point. Maybe a lot of fans feel that actually you could have put anyone in charge and that side would have still gone up. And maybe they should have gone up in the top two years ago and kind of fluffed it at the end. I don't know. That's, you don't want to rewrite history too much.
If you managed to pull off like a real coup of a managerial signing now, I don't know who, but a big name, and put them in charge, somebody who's instantly going to get the respect of that squad, you could walk promotion still in the second half of the season.
Sam Allardyce, Pad.
Oh, you fancy him, do you, mate?
No, I can't see that one happening. I tell you what, let's have a little break, shall we, and listen to some of my chat with Johnny Howson.
Well, Johnny Howson, that must be such a bitterly disappointing evening for you guys.
Yeah, obviously so. You know, it's been past few games, similar sort of story. You know, we put in a good performance, get a win, then, you know, the next game, certainly first half, it's obviously disappointing, and it's probably cost us a game again, you know, the performance in the first half. You know, it's similar to the Barnsley after a good win and a good performance against Brentford, going to the Barnsley game first half. Obviously not good enough, and same story again tonight. You know, it's probably cost the game, and you can't do that against, you know, decent sides, because it's difficult to come back from that. You know, second half, I think, was improved compared to the first half. You know, I think we, you know, the effort was there and we kept going to the end, but when it's going against you, sometimes them balls in the box don't seem to go in. You know, the one that sticks out is Seb's Eddie, obviously great contact. It's one there, you want it to hit someone and drop for your door, go in, and that's part and parcel of football sometimes. But you know, we'll keep working hard and hopefully it can turn around for us.
There's been games this season where you guys haven't been able to, you know, turn it on and you've been beaten. Was it as straightforward as that today? Because Huddersfield were excellent, weren't they?
I think first half, they obviously played some good stuff, you know, and they caused us problems at times. I suppose it's two ways you can look at it. You can either look at it of, you know, they played good stuff and at times we couldn't deal with that, or do you look at it of first half we weren't at it? And certainly at home, you know, it's even more disappointing of second half. I think we've proved that was arguably the better side second half, and if we'd have put that performance in first half, would it have been different? So yeah, okay, we played some nice stuff, but on the other hand, did we let them at times?
That inconsistency, you touched on it just then, and the fact is you've had this sort of corner that you've been trying to get round since the losing run, and it hasn't quite happened, has it? So how much of a worry is that now, that you can't seem to find the form where you were just churning out wins earlier in the season?
I think that's the thing. Of obviously had a terrible run of going seven games without a win, managed to get that, and you're just hoping for that, you know, two or three games, you know, of getting wins and turning it right around. It's obviously the two games that we did win, we haven't been able to back it up, so it's obviously disappointing, but you know, in there, you know, certainly second half, as I said, more than for the lack of trying, and we keep working hard and hopefully we can turn it around, because I think if we want to achieve something this season, we need to have that consistency, because you know, you don't get anything without the consistency, certainly at this level.
That is now 9 defeats for the season. At what point does this become a run that's going to seriously jeopardise you finishing in the top 6?
I think there's still a long way to go. You know, I think, I don't know the stats going from last time, but I think it was January when we went on a terrific run and managed to get promoted then. So, yeah, okay, we're a fair few points off the top two, but I'd say there's still the playoffs there that we certainly can aim for. But as I say, we take one game at a time. We're almost halfway through the season now, so yeah, okay, it's not great to have that many defeats at this stage of the season, but on the other hand, there's still a long way to go.
It's your 50th career goal, that was, Johnny. Did you know that beforehand?
I just had a quick look on my phone and a couple of my mates mentioned it to me. So
they're counting for you then, are they?
I think they might have been watching the TV and they're down there, so I wasn't aware of that, no.
Is that a proud thing, now you see it? I know, obviously, the day's not great, but it's not bad. You're still relatively young, aren't you?
Yeah, it's obviously nice. maybe to get that.
Relatively.
but if I'm honest, it's not something I thought about. Obviously, it's more disappointing from a result than... But personal achievement, I guess it's quite nice, I guess.
How hard is that atmosphere at the end? I know you've been here a little while and we've had it before, and when things were difficult for Chris, we had it then. And how hard is that? Because that it's not the kind of togetherness that you want as a club to move forward, really, is it?
No, it's not. I've had it a few times in my career, and I must admit, sometimes when you are younger, it does affect you. There's no lying about that, but as I say, I've had it. I'm not saying me personally. I've had it a few times in my career, and it's part and parcel of it, you know. They come here, it's up to them if they voice their opinion, and sometimes it's acceptable, you know. But as we mentioned there, I think the best thing is, which can be difficult at times, is that we all stick together, and that's the best way to go forward. But as I say, I think we've got an experienced bunch in there that, you know, are strong enough that they can take it. Whether it's right or wrong, you know, that don't matter. You've got to be thick-skinned, if you like, to play this game.
You guys almost have to ignore that, if whether it's reasonable or not, don't you, I suppose? Because
of course it is. You know, you're not going to please everyone. You know, and they'll be... I've looked at certainly more so whenever we went back to Leeds. You know, sometimes you play well, lose the game, and they'll be screaming at you. And then they'll be on the other end of you'd play not so great, win 1-0, and they'll be cheering you. You know, so you know, everyone's got their own opinion. You're not going to please everyone, and I'd say it's part and parcel of football, certainly these days.
Cheers, Johnny. Thank you very much.
Welcome back to the Pinkin.com podcast. Before we get back to the discussion, think you're the best at fantasy football? Do not wait until the end of the season to find out. Put your fantasy football knowledge to the test, people, and win cash every week at DraftKings.co.uk. Apparently, DraftKings is the world's number one destination for one-day fantasy football for cash. Now, you can go to draftkings.co.uk/pink now to pick a team and enter this Saturday's contest for a shot at winning a share of $200, which I would imagine is probably worth more in terms of pounds now than when whoever wrote this down wrote it down. So get in there. That is the address, draftkings.co.uk/pink to play free. So Dave, you were at the under-21s this afternoon. Was it nice and warm at Colney?
Under 23s, Michael, Premier League.
Oh,
two.
It doesn't matter. It's all junior.
Development league with the occasional overage player thrown in. Yeah, Matt Jarvis, 90 minutes. They lost 3-1 to Blackburn at a pretty cold Colney, and wasn't the most attractive game, to be honest. It was a bit of a battle. Blackburn had Damian Johnson and David Dunn in the dugout, and they both treated it like it was a Premier League game and shouted and effed and blind at every referee, fourth official, linesman that they could get near, and to the extent of where they looked like they were bullying the fourth official, to me. But
that's good, though. In a division that's often criticised for not being competitive, I much prefer that.
And it was a competitive game, actually. There were some strong challenges in there, but Blackburn were pretty decent. Norwich equalised. Carlton Morris scored. That makes him top scorer for the under-23s. He scored 7 and he was pretty good again. As far as I'm concerned, Carl Lafferty being at the club is holding up his progress because he can't get near the first team, can he? But he again showed that he can hold up the ball. Jarvis was a bit slow in the first half, but as the game went on, that's his first 90 minutes since injury, he was looking sharper and sharper, and he actually did well, crossed for Morris, and he should have put them 2-1 ahead. And then Blackburn went and scored two late goals. Ben Godfrey nearly got sent off again, which I think would have been a second red in 3 or 4 games. So yeah,
competitive, like I said.
yeah, not the most enjoyable, or not the most pretty game to watch. But yeah, that's them done for the year.
I love the idea of Carl Lafferty's first team involvement keeping Carlton Morris out of contention. Bless him.
But yeah, well, that bench time for a lad like Carlton would be important, wouldn't it? Just 5-10 minutes here and there. But because Carl's at the club, and they didn't get rid of him for whatever the reason may be, Carlton's nowhere near it, is he? Might as well be out on loan.
True. Let's play this very straight then. Alec Neil, you didn't see him there at Corny?
No, couldn't see him. I mean, that doesn't mean he wasn't there, because there's, you know, various windows at the training ground, but didn't see him. Jez Moxey was there, Ricky Martin was there, all the usual coaches were there. There were a few first team players floating about as well. Martin Austin having a chat with a few people that he probably knew from his time in Blackburn. But no, we didn't see Alex Neil. We don't want to start any kind of conspiracy theories on the back of that, obviously, because he could well have popped in and out, but I'm sure he's a busy man.
Indeed. Although, you would have expected at a normal under-23s game, he would have been pitch side watching.
Certainly, Carrow Road, he never misses them. And from our previous experiences, yeah, he would normally be at Carney for those games, yeah.
Those are the facts of the matter. So there we go. I feel like we should talk a little bit more about the actual Huddersfield game.
Yes. Pad.
Norwich were better in the second half. Alec Neil took solace from that. Should he have bothered?
Should he have bothered?
As in taking solace from it. Well, I suppose he has to take solace from anything he can get at the moment.
No, because it was Barnsley again. He basically got the wrong setup, the wrong formation, possibly the wrong personnel. And you get to half time and you're basically trying to repair the damage. My issue with him, and those two are the clearest examples of late, is that the game is now evolving around him. He's not affecting the game in a positive way. He's basically reacting to what's happening around him. And, you know, that's not a good position to be in, because it sort of it smacks of cloudy, confused, muddled thinking. I mean, it was clear as day in both those games by the half hour mark that it wasn't working. Norwich were getting overrun and they needed to change it, yet he refuses to. It's almost a stubborn admission that he might have got something wrong there, that if he was to change, i.e. the formation within the game, or actually make a change in terms of personnel. And that's why it's hard to really defend the bloke anymore, because, as I say, I mean, ultimately, what's he done at half-time against Huddersfield? He's brought on Tete, took off Malumbo, brought Johnny House from deep, but put Tete screening in front of the back four. He could have done that at any point in the first half by bringing Malumbo back into that screening role and bringing Johnny House from deeper. Now, if he was going to do that at half-time, why couldn't he have done that 25 minutes in, when it's clear as day, and he acknowledged it afterwards, Malumbo and Dorans couldn't handle two games in short succession, we're getting overrun, there was lads running off the back of them at will, threatening their back four, and they were fortunate only to be 2-1 down, to be fair, at that point. And as I say, the guy who walked in the building in January 2015 for 6 months, that wouldn't have happened. You wouldn't have seen a Barnsley performance like that. You wouldn't have seen a Huddersfield performance, and I don't mean performance in terms of what the players did, performance in terms of what the manager did as well. What's happening in the intervening period just seems to have worn him down. And he's referenced quite often recently that things that have worked for him in his relatively brief but successful managerial career haven't worked, and I think he's struggling to deal with that. You know, whatever methods, whatever philosophy that served him at Hamilton has served him in those initial months at Norwich, they've been found out, and he's not able to sort of counteract it within the pressures of trying to get a club into a position where they can challenge for promotion again. So, you know, there's a lot making out. It's inexperience on his part, and maybe there is an element to that, but I just think he's worn down with it, and that's why it's in his interest as much as anybody connected with Norwich to make this change, and let's see where the season goes from there.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's interesting. I'm not entirely sure he's ever been a manager that could really affect the games as it started. I mean, even you think about the good run, usually came from Norwich taking a grip of things early on and winning them. There was obviously the odd example, I'm thinking like Blackburn away and things where they came from behind and won games, but generally it's been the game panned out how Alec Neil would expect it to pan out, wouldn't it, at the start, and there wouldn't have to be much of him changing him. There's always been this situation with substitutions where they have a mother's meeting about it, and the amount of times they used to concede a goal while they were on the sidelines discussing who they were about to bring on, it's almost maybe just those chickens have come home to roost a little bit.
Happened at Brighton, didn't it? The third or fourth goal went in while they were talking about substitution. Yeah, he's looks like he's grasping for answers a lot of the time now, and that's not a nice situation for him or the club. And yeah, his reputation is taking a bit of a hammering at the moment, because you would have thought that he's probably going to, you know, if he moves on from Norwich, that he's probably going to be looking at a job north of the border next. And he doesn't want to start getting dragged further down the league, and then people really start analysing, because he's going to want a fresh start at some point as well, isn't he? I thought Huddersfield were good, actually. I thought that's the energy and the way they were, you know, that this whole Gegenpressen thing that is over from Germany, that you can see that Wagner has worked with Klopp, couldn't you? It was that same thing where they were pressing for second balls, and there was a couple of incidences on our side, on the south stand, where Norwich players were just clearing it up the touchline. It was almost going out for a throw, but Huddersfield still went in and won those challenges and kept the ball in the Norwich half, even if that meant it was a Norwich throw, and just to keep the pressure on all the time. And I was really impressed with them. They had that energy that every Norwich supporter is looking at their team and going, well, why can't we do that?
Which, oh God, I've been thinking that for... I mean, as good as Alec Neil was even when he came in, that energy is not something they've played with at all. Alec has liked them to keep the ball and be a steadier side. That's kind of happened. And the energy Huddersfield had, the organisation, their average age of the 11 on Friday was 24. You know, with one error from Stankovic where it sort of showed that he was only 20. But the way those two centre-backs started every attack, pretty much, they got the ball, they played out. The major issue with Norwich not at least playing two forwards high up, not necessarily a front two, but two forwards high up to press the centre-backs. It just allowed Huddersfield to start every move at the back like they wanted to. And the pitch was massive. They made the pitch so big, and they just then play it through Norwich as well. And it was really cohesive. That was what got me. And that came a lot from what David Wagner said after the game, didn't it, Pad? How cohesive, focused they were on how they want to play. And then to carry it out like that, I mean, Huddersfield, reporters and pundits have been saying that's the best first half performance they've seen from their side in years.
Yeah, well, it was good. I mean, again, written about it today, but the word that he uttered in his post-match, identity. They've got it, Norwich haven't got it, not anymore. They did have it under this man. And that isn't a one formulaic style of play. That's just almost a culture within your football club where all the players A, buy into it, and B, understand it. I mean, it's just embarrassing now how poor they are down their left flank, for example. I mean, you can pick out various areas of that squad that are vulnerable, but can you imagine if you're a rival championship team now looking at Norwich and the amount of goals they can see down the left-hand side? And that's basically individuals who aren't willing to do what they want they should be doing within a team ethic. That comes from the manager not being able to impose that on them. And it's ultimately, as I say, a malaise. And as good as Huddersfield were, it did highlight the gulf from where Norwich need to be if they're going to have any chance at the top end of this table.
Both goals for me completely at Robbie Brady's door, because I think one he didn't really chase back, the other one he got caught in no man's land. And I just think if that had been Alex Pritchard, or it had been Josh Murphy, or it had been Sergi Canos, we wouldn't be seeing them again for a few weeks.
Who?
Sergi Canos. Did he play today?
Oh, yeah, Sergi Canos. No, he wasn't in the team today either.
Is he not?
No.
So he is only 19, so hopefully in a couple of years' time he'll be able to play for the under-23s.
He didn't play a full season for Brentford last year, did he?
I don't know. I mean, he certainly didn't cost a couple of million quid. Right. Well, this, we've got a bonus. You may remember, or you might not remember, because I'm not sure how much we've plugged it, but there is the ability... Rather than you guys just listen to us prattle on, and I feel like we said the same things for about 6 weeks now, you guys can join in with the pod and record your own audio that we can then use in the podcast. And I think all you need to do is go to audioboom.com/pinken. I think that's the address. Apologies if it's not. And there's a red button. You can record your audio. We get it immediately, and we can include it in the podcast. And we've got a few messages off the back of Friday's game. I mean, I've got no idea if they're positive or negative. Let's have a listen.
This is John Speck calling. The problem at Norwich this season is actually very simple. We simply can't stop conceding goals. Only two teams in the league, Notts Forest and Rotherham, have conceded more goals. We've actually conceded, on average, almost three times as many goals as teams like Brighton. An appalling statistic. In fact, we concede, on average, 1.5 goals in every single game. So that's 34 goals conceded so far in this league. A goal in our net every 60 or so minutes. That's indefensible. This is a team on the fast lane to an ugly relegation scrap. Teams that can't defend get relegated.
Sorry, Canary here. Just to say that as far as I can see, when you have to get a goal, you take off one striker, you replace them with another striker, and then as it gets more desperate, you put your centre-half up front. What rubbish. What a waste of space. Something has to change. Because all we've done in the last 2 years is go round in a circle, back to where we were, and we're going back downwards again.
I mean, I feel sorry for John Ruddy, to be honest. I mean, in that move where, you know, Olsen's not tracking the winger, but Song's running away from the player with the ball, even though there's no one behind him, I just don't understand. With us doing so well going forward this season, you'd like to think most of the action on the training ground is defensively, but whatever training they're doing clearly isn't working, so clearly there's a need for a change there. Admittedly, some of the changes in the match today were... what's the word I'm looking for? Strange changes, that's probably the best way to describe it. I'm not really sure what he was thinking. But at the end of the day, another midfield that hasn't quite worked. Housen taken off, strange, but I mean, Doran's kept on the pitch. I don't think he was involved that much. I mean, Malumbu was putting himself about, maybe not effectively, but I think he was, the heart was in the right place. But yeah, I just don't see how the current manager can really turn things around, because it's clearly whatever's happening off the pitch isn't transferring to results on the pitch. So something has to change for me. And well, that's my opinion in short.
Well, who'd have guessed it? They were quite negative and fairly reflective of the mood at the moment. So we're not going to have any complaints there. Happy Christmas, everyone. We've got Christmas games coming up. You two gents are doing Boxing Day at Reading because I'm having Christmas off. So apologies in advance for that. And then, of course, it's New Year's Eve with a 5:30 kickoff. Yeah, I almost swore, at Brentford. I guess we obviously don't know, but we would assume Alec Neil will probably be in charge of those two games. No one wants to be sacked over Christmas. Reading's a tough game.
It is. It's not the ideal game at all for where Alec is. I mean, Reading away, Brentford away in the space of a few days. Apparently, Graham Dorans and Yusuf Malumbu couldn't handle two games in 4 days last week, so I can't imagine that the fitness issues are going to have miraculously healed over Christmas. Reading are doing well. Yapstam has probably surprised quite a few people, and he's certainly a tough manager, as you would expect from how he was as a player with Man United, wouldn't you? But it's not a nice way to go into Christmas, and I agree with you that I can't see the club sacking Alex days before Christmas. That just doesn't seem Delia's style. It shouldn't matter, should it? It's business. Christmas shouldn't make any difference, but on a personal level, it's not nice to sack someone. But if they go to Reading, and it's not a game that anyone's really going to expect them to win, which probably paints its own picture, but if they lose, I don't see how there can't be a change.
Final pre-Christmas words, Pad?
Enjoy the turkey. Because there won't be too much to enjoy at Reading, I fear, on Boxing Day.
Another turkey.
You said it. And if they don't get anything there, that's 8 defeats in 10. Brentford, I think, will be considerably better than when they rolled over at Carr Road earlier in December.
They'll have a point to prove as well.
Exactly, yeah. And then it's a rather ugly occasion, I fear, at Carr Road for Derby's visit. Another Bradley Johnson intervention, no doubt. So, not a huge amount to look forward to, I'm sad to report, if you're an Norwich fan over Christmas.
Except for Christmas itself. So I think on that note, Pad, you did really well, because I know you weren't in the mood for talking about it. So we've done quite well, haven't we? We've got half an hour out of that. So good stuff. Have a lovely Christmas, everyone. You know, forget the football.
Make sure you get your Pinken magazine for your Christmas stocking.
Well said, DF, from all good magazine retailers and probably all the bad ones as well, all of them. Pinker magazine with stuff in it, including my top 5 January targets, although one of them has already said he will only leave if he joins a Premier League club. So best to cover that one off. Anyway, DF, Pad, much appreciated. As I said, everyone have a lovely Christmas. We will see you. I don't know when we'll see you. I guess you guys might do a podcast on the Boxing Day. So yeah, we won't commit to it. You're both nodding.
Yeah, we'll do one post-reading, I think.
All right, we'll hold you to that then, because otherwise you'll get the tweets, not me. So we'll be with you over the festive period, and we'll, of course, we'll see what happens, won't we? Gents, thank you all, and Merry Christmas!